Today, we are talking about the alternative investment advantage. What are alternative investments? How can they be used to add more diversification to your financial plan? We're answering these questions and much more in the next half hour with Wealth Awareness.
Wealth Awareness is presented by Patrick Smith and Family for Baring Financial. Patrick Smith is a registered representative holding Series 7 and 66 licenses, as well as licenses for life and health insurance and annuity instruments. Securities offered through Center Street Securities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer and member, FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Center Street Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Baring Financial, CSS, and CSA are independent entities. The material on this program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice.
Baring Financial is a family-owned and operated advisory firm delivering 45 years of experience and serving the Dallas-Fort Worth area since 1986. This is Wealth Awareness, replacing fear with faith for your financial future. Welcome to the show and thank you for joining us. I'm Ron Taylor along with Patrick Smith for Baring Financial. Today we're talking about the alternative investment advantage. And I'll tell you, I like that line, Patrick. Let's go ahead and let me ask you the obvious question. What are alternative investments?
Well, Ron, they've been defined many ways. I'm actually going to kind of give you mine, and then I'm going to actually read one from actually an economist from BlackRock. Most people are familiar with BlackRock. It's a private equity and private debt, large private equity and private debt investment company. Mm-hmm. But alternative investments are assets that are not related to the stock or the bond markets. But they're direct investments into a number of disciplines of the economy. Mm-hmm. Alternative investments include real estate, private equity, private debt, hedge funds, managed futures, energy-related direct investments like oil and gas and solar energy, which is becoming prevalent, and, of course, even wind.
Sure.
Another interesting group that's come out of the direct investment world is what they call impact investing, where you're investing directly in emerging international growth businesses like family businesses in countries abroad that want to expand, and of course they can't get financing, so they're looking for financing that creates opportunities.
Right.
I'd like to read this this economist's definition. How would you define alternative investments is the question in this paper this man wrote. Most people think of alternatives as a single asset class or strategy. In fact, they are not. Alternative investments provide access to sophisticated investment strategies and types of investments that cross all asset classes and broaden diversification opportunities and potentially widen portfolio correlations, which that term portfolio correlations is referring to means less market volatility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the key of alternative investing. It's a way for clients to invest and get their funds out of the volatility of the marketplace. And the importance of that today is if you listen to all the financial pundits, you know, we're going into the ninth year of this new bull market, okay? Mm-hmm. They're referring to the market since the 2008 and 9, you know, Great Recession crash in the marketplace. And so a lot of people are enamored by the Trump effect, you know, how the markets, you know, kind of skyrocketed about 20% since Mr. Trump was elected, but they're still really, really, really nervous because when they hear the pundits talking about how long this bull market is, they get real nervous because that means, you know, that's language for, you know, we're expecting, you know, another big correction in the marketplace.
Yeah, interesting. Patrick, what do you think the reason is that a lot of investors that you talk to have not heard about alternatives at all, if they've heard anything at all?
Well, they've heard a little bit. People that have are remember the real estate investment trusts of the late 60s and the 70s, REITs, investing in commercial real estate, and those investments and their experience have some negative connotation. But by and large, the reason most people haven't heard of them is because all most people are introduced to is what we've referred to in many of our programs. Financial planning today is people's group benefits at work and their 401k plan.
Okay.
And that's all they know. And what you're taught in a 401k plan is you're taught mutual fund investing, market investing. Hmm. And that's the reason most people aren't even aware that there are direct investments out there called alternatives.
So now the question comes up, Patrick, why should investors consider including some alternative investments in their portfolio?
Their concern about the next market correction. That concern should lead them to realize they're not diversified. Just because you're diversified in a portfolio of different types of mutual funds, the average mutual fund is still an S&P lookalike, and because everybody's trying to perform as well as or outperform the S&P 500, you know, 500 of the United States' best stocks, and 90% of the portfolio managers never equal the S&P 500, let alone outperform it. So,
yeah.
If you're concerned, how do you, excepting for going to cash, how do you diversify out of this volatile, possible, you know, risk cauldron that you're in? And, you know, alternative investments are the way to do that. And the history of them is quite interesting, that there are institutional investors that have diversified out of the stock market since 1990, and taking average investment returns following the S&P 500 from about a 5% return to about an 11% return.
Wow.
With a whole lot less risk. And of course, that's one of the things that, you know, our whole program, Ron, is about educating people.
Yeah.
And we teach you how your money really works. And this is part of that educational process. When people come to see us, there's a whole lot out there that the average person's not aware of. And then the reason why somebody would want to diversify their portfolio in what we call non-correlated assets. That means that's a fancy term for your assets won't be correlated or tied to the market.
Mm.
The reason is we interview lots and lots of people, as you know, that come to see us. And when we do educational workshops and that kind of stuff and listen to our radio program. And one of the questions we always ask people is, if you could pick an interest rate that you could make on your retirement account for the rest of your days,
mm-hmm.
what interest rate would that be?
Mm.
And almost everybody tells us 6%.
Yeah.
Well, what they're telling us is, I really want to get off of this roller coaster of the market.
Yeah.
I'm getting older. I don't want to take the risk. I can't make up the lost time and the lost value every time the market corrects. Can I just get a 6% return on my money?
Man.
And the answer is, yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's and the one of the best ways to do that is with alternative investing, especially in this very, very, very low interest rate environment.
You know, Patrick, I think it's a great time to talk about wealth awareness. And, you know, if our listeners go to wealthawareness.com, this is where they begin to schedule a Money Works session. I'm going to give you a phone number here in just a moment. But when you call in and you set up the Money Works session, you get your questions answered and learn more, really, about what we're discussing today here. You'll meet face-to-face with the Smith family. There's no cost involved. There's no obligation. There's no high-pressured product sales pitch. it really, Patrick, is the beginning of a process, the wealth awareness process of learning how your money works. You're going to get a guide to alternative investments. That's a free book for you. Go ahead and call the number to set up the Money Works session. This is how the process begins. It's 817-571-2626. 817-571-2626. You can go to wealthawareness.com and begin the process there and find out more as well. Also, this conversation, as well as previous shows, are available on podcast, on iTunes and Stitcher. And we are also streaming via SoundCloud and TuneIn and any of the great streaming apps. One of those might be your favorite, so you can listen that way. But I don't know. One of the thoughts that I had is, how is it these types of investments are now available to the public? Talk about how this came about to where it's available now.
They've always been available since they were born. For instance, the Real Estate Investment Trust were born out of a law that was passed in 1960 that made REITs legal, so that investment companies could create real estate investment trusts and offer them to public investors. And of course, they weren't really actively used until about 68 because the stock market was so hot in the 50s and 60s all the way up to about 1968. And then it got flat and it stayed flat till about 1982.
Yeah.
And during those flat times, more people began to investigate alternative investments. And of course, during the 80s, we had limited partnerships. And they were used because the average maximum tax bracket was 50 to 70%. So people that were making over 200,000 were looking for alternative investments to help lower their taxes. And limited partnerships were being built around oil and gas investing and real estate investing and creating, two to three to four to one tax write-offs.
Right, sure.
And so they've always been around, but they went really silent because of the marketplace, because of 1982 when the 401k was introduced. There was an explosion in mutual funds. And there was 2,000 mutual funds in 1982, and today there's over 9,000.
Amazing.
The advent of the 401k caused that. But another phenomenon happened. This actually happened when I was the financial planner and estate planner at E.F. Hutton in downtown Fort Worth.
Mm.
Remember that name?
I certainly do.
Did you put your hand behind your ear when I said that?
I wanted to, because that's kind of the default go-to. You hear that name, and my arm raised up, but I stopped myself.
There you go. So what was going on at Hutton is E.F. Hutton was the first brokerage firm to create their own proprietary mutual funds.
Interesting, yeah.
Before that, every broker-dealer sold everybody else's mutual funds. But Hutton created their own, and in doing so, they also created trailer commissions.
Hmm.
And with the advent of the 401k and all this explosion of mutual fund companies to have places to put that 401k money, the investment world realized that they could create an income stream, a residual income stream, by setting up the commission structure on 401ks and other mutual fund purchases of not all front-end loaded commissions, but having smaller commissions on the front and trailer commissions on the back.
Interesting. Wow.
And so that results in every corporation doing a 401k and all of the mutual funds that custody 401ks are driven by a continually stream of income.
Mm.
And you don't want to mess up the stream of income.
No, you don't.
So people don't learn about, what else is out there.
Mm. Patrick, I think the whole notion of having an alternative investment opportunity is the notion that it may outperform, a standard 401k or IRA or whatever structure that folks are contributing to. Can you share with us some examples of alternative investment opportunities? And also tell us why it's important that we look at this in terms of the possibility that they're going to perform better or be something that's going to benefit us more in the back end.
Well, let's start with the end of that question.
Mm-hmm.
How are they or why are they going to benefit us more? Mm-hmm. And the reason is really simple, because you're not taking you're taking the risk of a big correction out of your investment portfolio.
Mm.
Okay, because they're not market correlated, they're not traded.
Exactly.
Okay, they're non-traded vehicles. That's one of the downsides. Okay, they're not always as liquid as somebody might want, but you can build a balanced portfolio of liquid and non-liquid. The real proof in the pudding is has been that what's been termed the Yale endowment model. Back in 1990, the Yale University endowment model that paid for all the professors' chairs, you know, that money was 70 to 80% invested in the market, or actually 80 to 90% invested in the market in a 60-40 blend of stocks and bonds. But they began to use alternative investments. And actually in 1990, they cut that mix from 90-10 to about 70-30, where 70% was in market-related risked investments and 30% was in alternatives. Today, that has totally reversed, where 70 to 80% of Yale's endowment funds are invested in alternatives and 20% are invested in the marketplace.
That's interesting, Patrick.
And that's where the returns that I was talking about, where the endowment model returns have been 10 to 11% a year when the average S&P 500's been 4.5 to 5. They've taken the risk, the volatility out of the investing. Now, it's important to know that what they can do and how long they can hold an investment is different than what a public investor can, but you can still design a portfolio to mitigate much of the risk and take the fear out of the investor's mind and heart and emotions about what am I going to do at the next big correction? When's the next big correction coming?
Wow.
Some examples of alternative investments today are we still have real estate investment trusts. But unlike back in the late 60s when they began to become prevalent, where they were just basically invested in expensive downtown commercial real estate, you know, high-rise office buildings and that kind of real estate, now they've been diversified into every kind of real estate that there is. For instance, one of the most popular is standalone real estate that's used for various things. Good example is Home Depot. They're standalone. Lowe's, CVS pharmacies, Walgreens, small regional banks, restaurants, the fast food restaurants. All these companies are divesting themselves of real estate because that's money on their books that they've got no liquidity use and control of.
Interesting, yeah.
And what they're actually doing is they're selling that real estate to real estate investment trusts, and they're leasing back their property from those trusts on 15 to 20 year leases with 2% increases every year. And what that does is that creates a 6 to 7% steady return for the investor with growth on the real estate over 5 to 7 years.
Wow.
And that's what retiring people or people that are approaching retirement, that's what they want. They can't get that at the banks anymore because the banks aren't engaging in the economy.
Wow.
So they can get these 5 to 7% returns. Okay. on first lien secured triple net lease real estate investments. That's just one of them. Then there's the banks, the major banks aren't engaging in the economy. They haven't engaged since 2008 because of the Dodd-Frank bill. It's 48,000 pages long and they haven't worked their way through 2/3 of it yet.
Right.
The Fed's printed $2.1 trillion. Where is that money?
Mm.
It's not in the economy. If it was in the economy, we'd have inflation.
Yeah.
It's in the basement of the Fed. And the Fed's letting the banks use that money for their reserves, and they're paying them 3% to sit on it.
Oh, man.
Why would they want to take a risk in the marketplace and loan money to BBB-rated corporations when they can make 3% on the money, plus the fact they don't know what the rules to the banking game are because of the Dodd-Frank bill?
I see.
And so what that's done is that's opened the door for private investment. That's opened the door for the private investors to make these investments available to John Q. Public, where the banks used to control all this and they were the middleman, and all you got was, you know, a 5 or 7% CD when the banks were making 20 to 25. And so there are loan funds out there, triple B rated corporations, okay, that can't borrow money from the major banks, are borrowing money from these private investments, okay, because they need cash flow to continue business.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are loan funds out there that are paying our clients 7 to 9% plus with first lien secured corporate floating rate interest loans.
Wow.
If companies like Delta Airlines, Dell Computers,
mm-hmm.
Home Depot, they're borrowing money from private investment funds.
These are corporations that have name equity. We're not talking about, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're corporations we do business with. In fact, most of the corporations we all do business with every day are triple B rated and double B rated companies.
Wow.
They're not all A rated companies.
Yeah.
Well, these companies have to function in the marketplace and they need liquidity, use, and control to function. So they're borrowing money to do that, and that money they're borrowing is first lien secured for the safety of the investor, and it's floating rate. So if interest rates rise, they're not going to be killed in the value of their investment because interest rates rose. And there's stuff like that there's a shortage of multifamily Class A apartment complexes across the country. The Generation Wires are 20% down in their desire to buy a home. They don't want to buy homes.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to switch because they're getting to 35 to 40 years old. But there's a huge shortage for Class A, top-ranked, high-amenity, high-security apartment complexes.
There certainly is. Patrick, before we run out of time, I want you to tell us about liquid alternatives. Tell us, what is that exactly?
Well, what's happened is everybody likes to get a good return on their money with as little risk as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't get to your money fast. If you're going to make 6 to 9% on your money in an alternative investment that's not market correlated, then it's not going to be liquid. And so two things have happened. The marketplace itself, the investors that put these together, have realized that they need to have similar types of investment that are built on some form of investment chassis that will bring liquidity to the investor. So they've done that. And then another thing driving that is the regulators, the SEC and FINRA, who's the regulators of the broker-dealer world.
Mm-hmm.
They passed a new regulation almost 2 years ago now. I think it was implemented early last year, called 1502. And it's a regulation that makes these investments be marked to a market value, even though they're not liquid, every quarter. What that has done is that's made the statements on these investments show the sales load as a loss in value. It's not really a loss in value, but they have to market to market. They don't even make the banks do that during the Great Recession. In fact, they changed the rules of the game,
wow.
and the banks haven't had to mark their real estate to the market since.
Wow.
But now all of a sudden, non-traded investments have to. Well, as a result, the investment world has gone to, okay, how can we give the client this similar type of investment, but make it liquid? And so now there's a whole array of those same types of investments that will pay our clients 5 to 6 to 9%, okay, that have liquidity features built into them.
Amazing. Patrick, our time has flown by. I want to make sure that our listeners are aware of how to get in and schedule a Money Works session, because this is very important. It's how you learn about how, what we're discussing today and so much more. Basically, wealthawareness.com is where you want to go to. That's what our show is called. And the phone number I'll give to you in just a moment to set up the Money Works session. Basically, you get the questions answered, learn more about what we're discussing today. You're going to meet face-to-face with the Smith family, and a wonderful, wonderful family that you'll get to know them, and really begin to understand why they do what they do, and God bless them so well to do so. There's no cost involved in this, no obligation, no high-pressured product sales pitch waiting on you. That's a relief in of itself. This is the beginning of a process, folks. It's the wealth awareness process of learning how your money works and perceiving it in that fashion. Also, you're going to get it's called a Guide to Alternative Investments, a small book that will guide you to some answers, perhaps, to other questions you might have. A great, great resource. And just a reminder, this conversation, as well as previous ones, are available on a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, also streaming via apps like SoundCloud, TuneIn, and maybe one of your other favorite apps that you might use. So make sure you check us out there. The number to call is 817-571-2626. It is 817-571-2626. And of course, the website and the show and what we're all about here today is Wealth Awareness, and it's wealthawareness.com. Patrick Smith, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron.